Welcome back. You're listening to Perth Indie Media Radical Radio. It's just gone 34 past 7.
It is. In case you forgot.
That was International Noise Conspiracy with Smash It Up. Good track indeed.
Yeah, standing in the studio with us now, we have Robin Chappell, the spokesperson for ANOWAR. ANOWAR is the Anti-Nuclear Alliance of WA, which the group staged a colourful protest outside Perth Convention Centre yesterday after a luncheon, or during, or before, around a luncheon hosted by the Institute of Energy, where I think it's Ian Hoare-Lacey.
That's correct, yeah.
Had a talk about that. So how was that? You went into the meeting, actually, didn't you?
Yeah, no, it was very interesting. I mean, obviously the crew outside really were rather spectacular. We had all sorts of the atypical nuclear banners the girls dressed as sunflowers, and the Raging Grannies were there as well. That was really good.
Was that plane thing there, the missile?
No, we didn't get that this time, but no, it was pretty good. But it was really interesting, the conference I went in. It was a lunchtime presentation by Ian Hoare-Lacey, who's of the UIC, Uranium Information Centre.
Which is a pro-uranium lobby.
Oh, it's actually, it's funded by them. It's funded by the four major corporations that deal in nuclear issues and uranium mining, so he's merely their spokesperson. But the Energy Institute is a bipartisan organisation which deals with energy throughout Australia, and they represent the gas fields, the renewable energy sector, coal, all sorts of people. So it was an interesting presentation, and I must admit that there wasn't a great feeling of a joy with Mr. Hoare-Lacey, though it was it was a really nice lunch. It was a great steak, and I enjoyed it immensely, I can tell you. But no, it was a good meeting, but it was listening to Ian Hoare-Lacey trot out the fairly typical sort of rhetoric that comes from a nuclear industry that's just about dead and dying.
Well, like, you know, 30 years ago, as in the press release that I was reading yesterday, Joe Valentine says the doctrine of nuclear inevitability promoted by Ian Hoare-Lacey is a beat-up. Nothing inevitable about our source of energy supply. The human race can choose what it is in the long-term interests of our planet. In the drive to reduce greenhouse gases, we don't need to fall for the false dichotomy of nuclear versus coal presented by the nuclear industry in the PR blitz. And there is a lot of media around about we need to have an argument about this.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, that argument is being presented in a very orchestrated way by the uranium industry. They've had nothing going for them for 27 years. I mean, there's not been a nuclear power station built in America in the last 27 years. So they're really on a hiding to nowhere. And suddenly they went, oh, greenhouse. Maybe we can hook onto this. And that's what they've been trying to do. But there was a very, very interesting and telling report that came out yesterday from the Rocky Mountain Institute, which is our good old friend Amory Lovins, who is the guru of energy globally. And he pointed out that, in fact, there was more energy produced out of renewables last year than there were actually out of nuclear.
Is that right?
Yeah, so
with all of the hundreds of plants around the planet.
I've just got the figures to hand. Excuse me, moving away from the mic. When you actually need to cite figures, it's really quite useful that in 2004, the global installed capacity of renewables was 411 gigawatts. 12% more than the global nuclear plants at 366 gigawatts.
That's quite amazing.
So when nuclear keeps on turning around and saying, oh, renewables just can't make it into the system, I mean, they are really conning people.
Definitely, yeah. And then the whole thing about nuclear energy as a useful source of energy is erroneous, because it's very expensive to build a nuclear power plant, very expensive to mine the stuff and get it to the plants, and it never goes away.
That's right. I mean, the nuclear industry in America has been basically subsidized through what we call the Price-Anderson Act to insure a nuclear facilities around about $600 billion.
Wow.
Basically because of the risk.
Wow.
So what the Price-Anderson Act did was basically said, well, we, the American government, will pay your insurance for you. You only have to insure for about a sixth of that. So certainly the nuclear industry, but also at the moment Bush is looking at trying to get subsidies to the industry so it can build nuclear power stations. They're immensely expensive in construction, around about $6 billion a unit. And when you compare with what we call clean coal, which I say with a bit of a gasp and a splutter, but when you compare that with clean coal, it just doesn't rate. Renewables now in Sweden are coming on stream and being far more competitive than nuclear and or coal.
That's great. That's good.
So we've got to keep promoting renewables because nuclear and coal, we're in the frying pan with coal. We've got global warming. We've got climate change. It's now an identified part of our life.
Yes.
The temperatures are going up. Sea level's going up.
It's visible now, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're saying, well, okay, we're in the frying pan. Let's jump into the fire. It sounds ridiculous.
To go all the way.
Yeah.
So you've got some sort of strange support. I noticed recently Dr. Jeff Galt came out saying against nuclear energy on the basis that he didn't want it to fall into the hands of terrorists. What do you think his sort of motivations for coming out against nuclear energy are?
There's a bit of humour in there, but I won't go down that track, all right? But no, I mean, certainly... one of the big problems with nuclear is that the residual from nuclear power is the waste. And the waste can make very good dirty bombs. I mean, currently we're looking for a number of kilos of plutonium in Japan that have gone missing from a power station.
Let alone its usage as depleted uranium.
Great use for waste. Let's kill people with it, you know. Depleted uranium now lines all the Abrams tanks and is the basic munition for penetrating tanks. So we're firing uranium at each other nowadays, boys and girls.
And they're not nuclear weapons.
No.
Apparently. Yeah, we cover that quite a lot in Perth Indy Media, and it's a very interesting issue, that depleted uranium, when it's not depleted at all. There's plenty of uranium and plenty of radioactivity going on there.
And just recently, the American government has agreed that all those soldiers that went into Gulf War One, who've got what we call radiation sickness, are now going to get a full assessment. Until recently, they denied
there was any
connection. About 3 days ago, we'll have a look at this now. There are too many of you guys falling over as a result of this.
It's like the Agent Orange of now.
Yeah, well, perhaps. I mean, we got the same problem up in the Kimberley. I mean, we had all the poor old herbicide workers up there in the early days, used 2,4,5-T, derivative of Agent Orange, and now we've got a whole population up there that's sick as dogs.
Mm. Yeah, it's something that needs to be looked at, that's for sure. So, Anuwa, it's good to see Anuwa back on the scene and doing something. That was excellent, I suppose. I wondered why there seemed to be quite quiet. I saw activism happening late last year in terms of Gallup's inability to sign off on legislation.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's what we're waiting for. Gallup has said for the last 5 years, or sorry, 4 years, and then into this election, that he would introduce anti-nuclear legislation to Western Australia.
Has he?
He certainly made it more difficult, in theory, for mining companies to do exploration, but since 2005, that was the election 2005, there have been 12 corporations take out uranium leases in Western Australia. Mm. We've now got somewhere in the region of about 270 tenements specifically earmarked for uranium mining in WA, and yet we don't allow it. So what are these guys doing? Do they know something we don't?
Exactly.
So it's a worrying trend.
Just on a final note, peak oil and the push for uranium. What can you argue that the case does get argued?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, certainly we've got the peak oil issue. I mean, there's some debate about the time, but I think the crossover of economic oil is going to be about 2015. I mean, we're still going to have lots of oil. It's not cheap anymore. No. So, I mean, when we talk about the $150 a barrel, that sort of mark, we're looking at the 2015, something like that. Maybe sooner. I mean, crikey, $60 a barrel came about 10 years in advance of what we thought it was going to do.
Yes, and the demand is just ever increasing, especially with China and India and other
Certainly,
countries.
Sort of going back to your original sort of question, we have to go for a complete suite of new energy. This is where solar becomes quite useful. Solar is not a good provider of electricity in a primary source. You need too much of it. What solar can do quite effectively is produce hydrogen. And hydrogen is a very good storage for energy. Okay. Also, wind can provide hydrogen through a different process. Now, wind is a very, very good power source. It's one of the most efficient. But the problem with wind is that sometimes it's not windy. So you need a battery. Now, when we talk about a battery, I don't mean the battery you got out of your little old Suzuki or whatever else, but we need a battery. Now, a battery can be a hydro dam, something that's stored energy, like a water body, which when the wind's not going, you turn to that and use that form of energy. Now, I've had some discussions previously with Hydro Tasmania, who is, you know, Tasmania's mainly powered by hydro, and they're actually looking to actually enter that market. We won't produce hydrogen while you're producing, we won't produce electricity while the wind's blowing, and you'll pay us to not produce electricity while your wind's blowing. But the moment your wind's not blowing, we will provide the electricity.
Sort of like credit swapping.
That's right.
Energy. Yeah, yeah.
So, and those are the sort of things we're going to have to get into. And certainly, whilst solar cells are not efficient at the moment, so there have been some really major advances in what are called cheap solar cells in Germany.
So basically, it's a push for more renewable resource energy, and don't go anywhere near the nuclear, really.
Absolutely. I mean, there are towns in America now which survive solely on solar power. That was an interesting...
That's a beautiful poem. Cool. And a great note to end it off. And thank you very much for coming in. If people want to find out more about the Anti-Nuclear Alliance of Western Australia, go to www.anawa, which is anawa.org.au. And it's an excellent, very comprehensive website with lots of information, including maps of where all the uranium is in WA.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thanks, Rob.
Tremendous.
Back in just a second.